Chapter 11. Lord Burchard sat upon a raised dais behind a long table on the far side of the room, and several men in thick gray furs sat on either side of him. Another table at the base of the dais sat empty, and the servant I'd followed to the dining hall walked in that direction, so I assumed it was for myself and my companions. The other tables were arranged perpendicular to the dais, and every chair was filled by nobles. Strings of lanterns hung from the rafters running overhead, and the light reflected off the glass window roof, so the room was full of sparkles.
It's lovely,
Zenda observed as her sapphire gaze swept around the room.
All this is for us.
You're with the god of time, babe. You'll get used to the royal treatment eventually.
This is a fairly common response to Bash's presence.
Everyone wants to party with the god. But can you blame him?
We all took seats at the empty table, and then servants began to move around the room, serving drinks. My chalice was filled with a dark, stout-looking beer, and the thick foam licked against the rim. Since Mahini was pregnant, she opted for a sweet juice, but Zenda and Jaxtam eyed their beers eagerly. Then Lord Burchard rose to his feet as he tapped a spoon against his chalice, and the room fell silent as all eyes turned toward the dais.
Tonight it is our pleasure, nay, our privilege, to spend the evening with the Honorable Archduke of Soriol.
Lord Burchard lifted his glass high into the air.
Let's show him the infamous hospitality of the North!
There was a round of applause after his words, and everyone in the room lifted their cups for the toast.
To the Archduke!
The room was silent for a moment, as everyone drank heavily from their glasses, but then the servants moved to refill the empty cups once more. Several more rounds of toasting from various nobles around the room led to my chalice being refilled multiple times before I even thought about food. I was already getting a heady buzz, and I smiled easily as I waited for the next toast. Zenda laughed at Jax's jokes to my side, and Mahini eyed the halberds held by the guards lining the walls. Everyone was having a good time. Musicians played instruments I'd never seen before in shadowed alcoves on either side of the room, but I recognized the sound of bagpipes occasionally. The reachers bobbed their heads and moved along to the music, but no one seemed interested in dancing just yet. Then the food came in an extravagant parade of servants. White tablecloths covered the wheeled carts laden with dishes, and the freshly pressed uniforms of the servants were all embroidered with the Lord of Northwatch's crest. Steam billowed from beneath the silver-lidded serving trays, and the aromas elicited growls from my stomach. Each servant wheeled his cart toward one of the tables, and they moved like synchronized swimmers around the room. I wondered how many times they had to practice for this kind of event, but I had to admit, it was an impressive display of teamwork.
Oh, it smells amazing,
Mahini murmured as she eyed the steaming dishes.
I wonder what sorts of things they eat around here.
Well, let's find out. The servants uncovered the silver dishes to release even more steam and delicious smells, but none of the food looked like anything I'd ever seen before. So I still wasn't sure what exactly I was looking at. Round balls of dough sat in a dark, rich-looking broth, so I assumed they were some sort of dumplings. Grains of something resembling rice stood in fluffy piles in silver bowls, and an aromatic sauce sat to the side. There were also flat, flaky, tortilla-like cakes and deep-fried meat on sticks. It was like a mixture of Russian and Eastern fare, and my curiosity was piqued, as well as my appetite. Our beverages were refilled by one servant, while another placed the dishes before us, but we all waited for the Lord of Northwatch to give the signal before we delved into our dinners.
Everything looks perfect, Lord Burchard announced. Let us enjoy this meal and all that it represents. A new day is dawning for the Northern Reaches, and all of us will be lifted up. The God of Time has blessed us with his presence. So let us celebrate!
It seemed I'd made quite the impression on the Lord of Northwatch. Everyone clapped politely after the Lord's words, and then we all dug into our food. The dumplings were stuffed with meat and cheese, and the savory goodness practically melted in my mouth. The exotic flavors erupted across my taste buds in ways I'd never experienced before, and I grabbed a bite of everything on my plate and then washed it down with the dark beer. The Reachers laughed and joked while they ate, and the room was filled with the sounds of many conversations. The servants circled continuously, and no one waited longer than a few seconds for a refill. My companions and I watched the other guests quietly, and I could see the mental notes being taken behind Zenda's intelligent sapphire eyes. Then Mahini leaned over to whisper something in Jax's ear, and the two chuckled to themselves over some shared joke. It was good to see my companions enjoying the evening, but I wished my other wives and my fiancé could be here to experience it too.
What do you say, Sir Sebastian?
Lord Burchard suddenly called over the sounds that filled the dining hall.
Will you show us a dance of your people?
Ask me after a few more drinks, I called back. Lord Burchard laughed and lifted his chalice pointedly, and I mirrored his motion with my own cup before I drank heavily from the rim. The music grew louder after everyone finished eating, and the servants cleared away the wheeled carts to make room for dancing. A few of the nobles rose from their chairs and moved to the empty space in the center of the room, and they began to move in a complicated pattern.
This must be a local tradition,
Zenda mused as her eyes followed the dancers across the floor. Oh, it looks like fun. I bet we could pick it up quickly. I'd have it mastered on my next run-through, and Zenda would be blown away with my skills, but the more I watched the dancers, the more the movements resembled something I'd seen from Earth. The steps and twirls reminded me of country square dancing, and I chuckled at the thought. Dwarf-like people square dancing to bagpipes was something I'd never thought I'd see with my own eyes. But here we were. Well, the life of the God of Time was never dull.
Let's do it.
Zenda suddenly stood up and extended her hand to me. All right, I chuckled as I took her hand and led her to the dance floor. Zenda and I hovered on the edge of the dance floor as we waited for an opening, but then the dancers spun away from us, so we jumped into the formation just in time. We followed their movements, but we bumped into another couple and we all giggled as we resumed the correct positions.
Finally, something you're not a master at.
Zenda laughed with abandon as I spun her around the dance floor. Don't get used to it, I teased. I would show her a dance master soon enough, but for the moment, I concentrated on learning the steps. Zenda and I danced until we began to get the hang of the pattern, and then we were both grinning from ear to ear as we slid across the dance floor. Her sapphire blue eyes twinkled with delight, and her cheeks were dimpled from smiling so much. Her enjoyment matched my own, but seeing her light up with joy made my heart swell with affection. The scholarly Zaborian had wormed her way into my heart, and there wasn't a chance in hell I'd let her out ever again.
What does that look for?
Zenda's laugh was musical as she spun into my arms.
I'm falling madly in love with you, Zenda, I said in a serious tone, and her steps faltered as her dark blue eyes widened in surprise.
I love you, Bash,
the Zaborian breathed, and a purple hue flushed her neck and cheeks.
It's quite the predicament.
Your heart is safe with me, I promised, and I brought the backs of her hands to my lips. You're mine forever.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Zenda smiled softly, and she stood on her tiptoes to press a sweet kiss against my cheek. We danced until we were both flushed in the face, and then we laughed the whole way back to our table. Lord Burchard had descended from his dais, and he waited for us near my seat. The leader of Northwatch held two small cups in his hands, and I had a feeling there was more of the clear liquor contained within. It seemed Lord Burchard was trying to get me drunk. Little did he know I had an unlimited liver, thanks to my ability to reset. Thanks. I grinned as I accepted the cup, and I tossed it back with minimal wincing. Oh, that stuff really hits the spot. What do you call it?
Boca,
Lord Burchard said, and he signaled to a servant for a refill.
It's made from potatoes, believe it or not.
I do. We have a similar drink where I'm from.
And where are you from, Sir Sebastian?
Lord Burchard lifted an eyebrow as he sipped from his glass.
If not Soriol?
I'm a god, I smirked. I come from another world.
Fascinating. Do you plan to return to your home world?
Nope. It had been a long time since I'd considered getting back to Earth, but I had no idea how I'd even go about such a task. Besides, Soriol and the surrounding realms were my literal playground, and I had a harem full of beautiful women eager to please me. Why would I ever want to leave? We tossed back a few more shots of the potato liquor, and then the Lord of Northwatch led me to a group of nobles. He cleared his throat, and the conversation halted as the people turned to greet us.
Dame Brucevix, I'd like you to formally meet the God of Time, Sir Sebastian.
Lord Burchard said with a pleased smile.
Oh, great fun.
The middle-aged woman dropped into a low curtsy.
What an honor!
Dame Brucevix is in charge of the Matron's Guild. She oversees the medical staff, maidens' school, and makes the final decisions on matters concerning the feminine residents of Northwatch.
Well, that sounds like a lot of work. You must stay very busy.
Oh, never too busy to enjoy the presence of the God of Time.
Dame Brucevix countered with a wink.
This seems to be a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence.
We talked to the rest of the nobles in the group, but then my host guided me away with a hand on my shoulder. He segued from topic to topic effortlessly, and he maneuvered through the room like a master networker. It soon became clear to me how he'd risen to power and managed to maintain it for so long. His people showed him obvious respect and deference beyond the obligatory treatment of leaders, and he treated them with kindness in return. I liked him. Lord Burchard introduced me to his advisors, guildmasters, and vassals like I was a member of his family, and everyone eyed me with obvious awe.
They say he can stop time completely,
a voice whispered when we turned away from one group.
He can kill you with a single look.
I heard he can pleasure a woman without even touching her.
I chuckled as the rumors began to fly, and I didn't mind the exaggerations included in the whispers. I'd let them continue to speculate at the true extent of my powers, since it would just make my mission to amaze them that much easier. But I was curious what other gossip I could gather. Lord Burchard and I moved around the room to socialize with the various clusters of people, and after a while my companions also joined us. I introduced Jaxton and my women with the flamboyance I felt they rightfully deserved, and they were treated with the utmost respect by all the party guests.
Maybe he will succeed where Lord Burchard has failed.
A voice suddenly whispered behind me, and I turned to see two ladies shooting disdainful glances at the leader of Northwatch. Lord Burchard continued on to the next group, but I paused to let him go on without me. I wanted to learn more about what the women were talking about, and I didn't want the leader to affect what was said. It hadn't sounded like the ladies were very pleased with the Lord of Northwatch, and I wanted to know why. They wore furs around their necks, and both had lace veils covering their faces, but their long blonde hair was woven into complex braids down their backs. They were both older, and could have been related, if not twins, with how much they looked alike.
Doubtful.
The other lady sneered. Succeed at what? I interrupted with a friendly smile. The two women's eyes widened, and they exchanged a worried glance. Don't worry. I won't get you in trouble. I'm sorry for eavesdropping, but I'm just curious what you were talking about.
I don't know. We didn't mean any harm.
Please? I gave them my most charming smile, and I watched their resistance melt like butter left in the summer sunlight.
The disappearances. They've been going on for months, and Lord Burchard hasn't done anything about it. No offense, great fun. But what could you do that he couldn't?
Oh, my powers are limitless, I said with a dismissive wave of my hand. But I can't fix a problem I don't know about. You say people are disappearing?
Vanishing into thin air!
The lady on the left exclaimed.
Beds left empty, dinner seats unoccupied, and all of it no explanations, not even a note.
How many people have gone missing so far? I frowned. Maybe this was the responsibility of the cultists, but I hadn't thought things were that bad in Northwatch. Lord Burchard had certainly downplayed the situation, but I imagined it was because he was ashamed of his own inability to fix it.
Almost 50 people are missing now.
The lady on the right tutted sadly.
Including my nephew. I took the matter to Lord Burchard directly, and do you know what he said to me?
I wouldn't even be able to guess, I said honestly. I'd have all the answers during my final run-through, but for the moment I was focused on gathering the information in the first place.
He said my nephew ran away willingly.
The woman shook her head in dismay.
As though he knew my own family better than I.
Well, I'm sure he only meant to comfort you. How long ago did your nephew go missing?
It's been almost a fortnight.
The woman narrowed her eyes and leaned forward.
Do you honestly think you can do what the Lord of the Northwatch cannot?
Hey, lady, I'm a god. I've found missing people before, prevented murders, and solved more crimes than I can count. If anyone can do it, it's me.
He's confident, at least.
The other woman muttered.
For good reason.
Mahini interjected as she stepped up to my side.
This is the god of time you're talking about. He has powers you could only dream of. And if he says he's capable of something, then you would be wise to listen. Oh, she's a feisty one, isn't she?
The lady on the left whispered to her companion.
Is everything okay here, Bash?
Mahini stiffened, and she crossed her arms over her chest. Yeah, just fine. We were talking about how a bunch of people have gone missing from Northwatch recently.
Oh?
Mahini's eyebrows rose into her hairline.
Do you think it is the cult? Cult!
The ladies gasped in unison.
Sorry.
Mahini murmured with an apologetic smile.
I thought it was common knowledge.
Yeah, me too. I shrugged, but then I turned back to the two old ladies. I don't think we've been properly introduced yet. As you know, I am Sir Sebastian, but you can call me Bash. And this is my wife, Mahini.
I am Olive.
The lady on the left said with a dip of her head.
And I am Pearl.
The other woman said, and she presented her hand for me to kiss.
Charmed, great one.
I'm sure. I chuckled as I pressed my lips against her age-spotted fingers.
I see you've met the crows,
Lord Burchard said as he approached our small gathering, and he frowned in the direction of the two old women.
I hope they haven't been bothering you too much.
Oh, not at all, I said, and I gave the ladies a tight-lipped smile.
It was an absolute pleasure.
We'll continue our conversation another time. Or another run-through, either way. Then I turned and took the Lord's arm to lead him smoothly away from the two old women as Mahini trailed along behind us. I didn't want him messing up my chance at gathering information, and I had a feeling he wouldn't like half of what the two old women had said. After we'd made several circuits of the room and I'd met everyone in attendance, we all settled into our chairs once more, but the staff was quick to make sure everyone's cups were full to the brim.
Now for the entertainment portion of the evening,
the Lord of Northwatch announced, and he clapped his hands loudly to signal to the performers waiting in an alcove. The acrobats tumbled into the center of the room, and everyone clapped as they assembled into a human pyramid. I applauded, along with the rest of the audience, but I bent my head to whisper to my companions as we watched.
There's been a scourge of people going missing in Northwatch,
I said in a low voice.
I think the cult is to blame, but I need more information.
How could they get inside the frozen walls?
Zenda narrowed her eyes thoughtfully.
Northwatch seems to be a very secure city.
I'm not sure.
I frowned.
Not knowing things was a feeling I'd grown to be uncomfortable with, and I itched to get to the bottom of the mystery. But how would I prove the cultists were responsible for the missing people?
Maybe the cultists have help from within the city walls. There's bound to be someone with power who disagrees with those who are in charge. Oh, it could be someone in this very room,
Zenda added. All of our eyes turned to scan over the room full of nobles, and I worked the muscle in my jaw as I thought about everyone I'd met. No one had stood out as a traitor to my eyes, but if they had, they probably wouldn't have made a very successful traitor. An aged man wearing ragged gray robes hobbled into the center of the room as the acrobats left the stage, and a servant hurriedly placed a chair for him to sit in. A reverent hush fell over the room, and I peered around curiously at the response.
"Honored guests!"
The old man cleared his throat, and he tilted his head in my direction, but then he repeated the gesture at the dais.
"Lord Burchard!"
"Thank you for coming, Maester Sitar."
Lord Burchard spread his hands to either side of him.
"It is a privilege to hear your tales once more."
The old man must be some kind of storyteller or keeper of legends, and I settled in to hear what he had to say. From the reactions of the audience, I had a feeling it was going to be good.
"Long ago, before the coming of the Ice Age,"
Master Sitar said in a surprisingly loud and strong voice,
"the northern reaches were a jungle, and the forest was rich with wildlife."
That had to have been a really long time ago, and I tried to imagine the frozen wasteland as a lush jungle, but it proved to be challenging. Master Sitar proceeded to tell a tale, the likes of which I'd never heard before, and the entire room stayed locked in rapt fascination the entire time. The old man's voice rang out clearly across the dining hall, and his mesmerizing stories wove visuals so strong it was like a movie in my head. I learned the history of the northern reaches through his tales, and I had a newfound appreciation for the hardy people of the north after I heard about everything they'd been through. The north was once covered in jungles, denser than any in the islands of the Eastern Ocean, and several active volcanoes dotted the landscape. According to Master Sitar, the people of the north had angered the old gods through baseless lives full of sin and greed, so the gods caused all the volcanoes to start erupting. The volcanic activity heralded the arrival of the dragons, who blanketed the world in fire and ice, and the northerners realized their gods had forsaken them. Except the northerners were a different breed of people altogether, and they adapted to their new environment. They turned the volcanoes into forges to make weapons and armor to rival those of the gods themselves, and they domesticated the very beasts sent to destroy them. The northerners rode into the sky on the backs of the dragons, and they carried swords charged with the creature's powerful elemental breaths. Then the people went to war against their very creators, and won.
"Oh, remind me not to fuck with the Reachers,"
I murmured to Jax under my breath. I wasn't sure how accurate the story was or how much had been skewed over the ages, but it certainly made for an interesting tale. It told me a lot about the culture of the Northern Reaches and why they were so hesitant to form alliances. As the people who had killed their own gods, they felt capable of handling anything on their own.
"Don't sound like a good idea, does it?"
he snickered.
"There were hard consequences to the violence of the northerners,"
Master Sitar continued loudly, so Jax and I fell silent and listened.
"With the old gods dead, the magic of the ancients began to fade."
The tension of the audience built as the storyteller paused for dramatic effect,
but I could tell from their expressions that they'd all heard this story before.
With the magic gone, the world began to change.
Master Sithar fixed the watchful eyes of his audience with a sad look.
The sun hid behind dark clouds, and the snow began to fall, but it didn't stop.
Another pause, and the old man caught my eye from across the room. He nodded subtly, and a shiver ran down my spine.
Over time, we discovered new magic and adapted yet again.
Master Sithar folded his hands into the sleeves of his ragged gray robe.
And as the volcanoes passed into a peaceful slumber, so too did the dragons also vanish from the land, one by one.
As I visualized the ancient reachers riding dragons into the sky to do battle with the old gods, I pictured myself riding a fire-breathing sky lizard of my own. The idea took hold and grew, and my thoughts turned to my dragon egg safely hidden in our chambers. What would the Reachers think of someone in possession of an actual dragon's egg? I wasn't planning on finding out anytime soon, but I had to admit, I found their culture and history to be fascinating. After a glance at my companions, I realized they were just as enthralled by the tale as I was, so I returned my focus to the storyteller's words.
One day, a hero shall return the sun to the north. The frost will melt, and the old magic will return to flood the realms of man with power. Then we shall all become gods.
The storyteller locked eyes with me as he finished speaking, and goosebumps rose on my flesh. His gaze penetrated through me from across the room, and I had a feeling he'd learned more about me in that one glance than I had about him during his entire presentation.
Lovely!
Zenda applauded harder than anyone when the storyteller rose from his chair and began to hobble away. I imagined she'd have the entire story written down in her journals before falling asleep that night, and I smiled as I thought about what notes she must have about me. The thought made me want to perform more experiments with her in the bedroom.
Do you think it's true?
Jax asked, and dragged me out from my daydreams.
What the old man said about the volcanoes being forges?
Maybe. I suppose there's only one way to find out, but I feel like we're on the right track.
Aye, sounds like the Reaches is the right place to be.
What's next, do you think?
Mahini asked in an eager voice as she peered into the shadowy alcoves on the edge of the room where the performers waited their turns.
I can't imagine it gets much better than that.
Then a troop of armored men marched in unison into the center of the room, and they saluted their lord before they snapped to attention. My warrior wife sat on the edge of her seat, and excitement filled her ice-blue eyes. A show of military skill was right up my wife's alley. Like synchronized swimmers, the group of soldiers moved around the room and swung their weapons in broad arcs over their heads. It wasn't super impressive, but it was still entertaining. After the soldiers marched back into their alcove, the musicians resumed playing, and the nobles all rose to their feet to continue the dance. Lord Burchard reminded me of my promise to show a dance from my world, so I taught everyone how to Dougie the best I could. I was walking around the room and visiting with various groups of Reachers when I passed by a couple of servants standing against the wall.
They said this will be the last one. Lord Caldera needs one more sacrifice. Do it soon, for everyone is distracted by the God of Time. I will tell my master.
The first sighed. I'd been ready to reset to my save point to go through the entire evening all over again when I overheard the two servants whispering, and I stopped dead in my tracks. There was a traitor in Northwatch, and I was going to find out exactly who it was. Who exactly do you work for? I asked in a casual tone, but both servants froze like I'd just caught them red-handed.
Why, Lord Burchard, of course,
the one on the left side said with a smooth smile.
Can I offer you some refreshments, great fun?
You're planning on kidnapping someone? I pressed. The two men exchanged an anxious glance, and then the one who'd mentioned the leader of the cult darted toward the entrance and tried to escape. I managed to snag him by the back of his shirt, though, and I hauled him off his feet to slam him on his back. His tray of drinks went flying, and a liquid splattered across the white fur rugs on the floor. Alarmed gasps shot through the people nearby, and everyone backed away to form a circle around me and the two servants. Lord Burchard pushed his way through an instant later, and he quickly scanned the scene before glowering at his servant.
"How dare you spill all over our honored guest?"
the Lord of Northwatch boomed.
"Out of my sight!"
The servant on the ground moved to get up, but I stopped him by placing a hand on his shoulder and shoving him back down. "Oh, I'm not done with him yet."
"I will handle the punishment for his clumsiness."
Lord Burchard gave me a confused look.
"What else do you require?"
He wasn't clumsy. I pulled him to the ground. He was trying to escape.
What do you mean?
Lord Burchard frowned. Zenda, Mahini, and Jaxtum pushed their way through the crowd to stand by my side, and the desert goddess kept a watchful eye on the servant who remained on his feet against the wall. You have a traitor in your midst, I announced. Startled gasps shot through the gathered nobles, and everyone began to glance at each other suspiciously, as though any one of them could be the traitor. But Lord Burchard looked unconvinced.
I assure you, my staff are loyal to Northwatch first and foremost,
the leader said as he spread his hands out in a placating gesture.
Please, allow me to discipline my employee according to his crime, and you may continue to enjoy the feast.
I'm not going to enjoy partying when there's people talking about sacrifices, I said, and I planted my hands on my hips. These men were conspiring to kidnap Reachers for the leader of the dragon cult, Lord Caldera. Several of the people nearby blanched at the mention of the cult leader, and I tilted my head to the side as I considered what this meant. It would be a challenge to ferret out a single traitor from the room full of vapid nobles, but I knew I was up to the task. I just needed more time.
Ding!
Announcing the arrival of Sir Sebastian, Archduke of Soriale, Bane of Pirates, Dragon Slayer, and God of Time!
The herald called over the sound of the applause in a loud, clear voice.
And his companions, Jaxtum of Bastionville, Archduchess Mahini of the Kotar Desert, and First Daughter Zenda of the Zaboreal Isles.
I moved into the room and headed straight to my table, but I was already scanning the room in search of the servants who'd been plotting the kidnapping. The spot on the wall they'd occupied was empty, but I knew they would be there eventually. Then my gaze flicked over Olive and Pearl as my eyes moved across the room, and I wondered if the old women knew anything else about the disappearances. Well, the two had to be linked, and I was going to find out how.
What's wrong, Bash?
Mahini asked with a subtle frown. Nothing. I flashed her a sideways smile, but she merely arched one eyebrow coolly and crossed her arms, so I sighed and gestured for my companions to gather in close. Then I quickly explained about overhearing the kidnapping plot and about the scourge of disappearances occurring in Northwatch, and their faces turned dark.
What do we do?
Zenda asked as she knitted her eyebrows together in concern.
We have to help somehow.
Oh, we're going to fix it. I gave her a reassuring smile. Before this party is over, I'll know who is responsible for providing victims to the cult.
You're sure they're not going willingly?
Mahini asked.
You said they were brainwashed.
Well, brainwashed people aren't giving consent. They need help.
I am yours to command,
the desert goddess said with a tilt of her head.
Point to the responsible parties and I will eliminate the threats.
Not so fast. It's intrigue and spying time first. I laid out my instructions as quickly and as quietly as I could, since I didn't want to get any unwanted attention from the Lord of Northwatch while I plotted to ruin his party. But I explained how I wanted each of them to spread out through the room to gather as much information as possible. Then we would reconvene to see if we found out anything useful before planning our next steps. We split up during the socializing portion of our evening, and I moved through the party guests in search of the two servants. The castle staff blended in with their surroundings, but they were likely trained to be almost invisible until needed. I had a keen eye, though, and I spotted the pair across the room after a short while. I trailed behind them as closely as I dared, and I observed little details about them that would make it easier to identify them later. The man I'd thrown to the floor had darker hair than most Reachers, and a clump of moles on the back of his neck, but the other servant's hair was the typical blonde common to the area. I followed them until they moved to the wall where I'd overheard them mention Lord Caldera's name during my previous run-through, but I made sure to keep an unobtrusive distance away.
They said this will be the last one,
the blonde one hissed.
Lord Caldera needs one more sacrifice,
the other whispered.
Do it soon, for everyone is distracted by the God of Time. I will tell my master,
the blonde sighed. I kept my mouth shut this time, and I continued to follow the servants around until they'd completed a full circuit of the room, but I took note of everyone they interacted with for longer than was necessary to pour a beverage. Then the dark-haired servant slipped out of a side entrance and disappeared, so I ducked down the hallway after him, but I kept a safe distance between us to avoid being detected. The dark-haired servant took a right-hand turn, and I paused at the junction before I continued after him. But I watched him peer over his shoulder before he entered a room. I waited a moment to make sure I wasn't detected before I crossed the distance to the door, and I pressed my ear against the surface to listen in.
Did you deliver the message?
An unfamiliar male voice asked in a harsh tone.
Yes.
I recognized the sound of the dark-haired servant's voice.
Although Rick was less than motivated.
Make sure it is done,
the first person said with a dismissive air.
What if he can't find anyone?
The dark-haired servant sounded worried.
Then you shall go instead,
the man snapped. I heard footsteps moving to the door, so I scurried back into the shadows on the other end of the corridor and watched as the dark-haired servant emerged. The door swung wide as he left, and I glimpsed the back of a tall armchair silhouetted in front of a fireplace. It looked like something straight out of a supervillain movie. Oh, awesome.
Now color me curious,
I murmured as I stomped my foot to activate the fleetness ability of my griffin feather boots. I was going to find out who was behind the door. I zipped inside faster than light, and the door clicked shut behind me. Then I froze in the shadows just inside the entrance, and I held my breath. Whoever sat on the other side of the chair was responsible for the disappearances in Northwatch, and was likely working with the cultists.
It was now or never.
I moved as silently as I could around the back of the armchair, and the man's gut was the first thing to come into view. He wore a double-breasted vest over a gray shirt, but the robes hanging from his shoulders were black. Then I jumped out in front of him, and I scanned him up and down as he gawked up at me in shock.
What are you doing here?
He demanded. The man before me didn't look like much, and I didn't remember seeing him in the dining hall at any point during the evening. His face was pockmarked and lined with wrinkles, and his bulbous nose overshadowed his thin lips. Black hair clung to his scalp like algae on a rock, and it looked just as damp from sweat.
Who are you? What's your name?
What business is it of yours?
The man rose from his chair and glared up at me, but the top of his head didn't even come up to my shoulders. "You're kidnapping people and giving them to the cult. I intend to stop you." There was no point in lying, since I was just going to reset to my save point once I found out his identity, but the man panicked and darted for the door.
"Hey, no need to be dramatic,"
I chuckled as I grabbed him by the cuff of his robe and hauled him back into his chair. "There's no point in trying to escape. I'm the god of time. I'd just go back in time and find you again."
"You are the visitor from the south, Sir Sebastian?"
The man's eyes were like daggers, but I didn't see any weapons within his reach, so I wasn't worried. "And you are?" I gave him a pointed look.
"None of your concern."
The man grasped the arms of the chair tightly, and his entire body was tense and ready to bolt again if he got the opportunity. "Tell me your name, and this will all be over." I took a couple of steps closer to him and towered over his chair. "I can pry it from your corpse just as easily."
"You wouldn't dare!"
A sneer twisted the man's lips.
"Nordvatch would crumble without me!"
"Maybe Lord Burchard knows who you are," I said, and I paused to give him one last chance to offer up the information freely before I hauled him to his feet and shoved him toward the door.
"No, no, no!"
The man whimpered pathetically as I pushed him out into the hallway, but I ignored his cries and continued dragging him back toward the dining hall. I sent the mysterious man ahead of me, and gasps erupted from the nobles standing nearby. Then the music screeched to a stop, and everyone turned to look in our direction.
"Lord Burchard!"
I called out over the heads of the party guests.
"I have a question for you."
The people parted to allow the Lord of Northwatch through, and his eyes widened when he spotted the black-haired man on the floor in front of me.
"Magistrate Packard, what is going on?"
Lord Burchard frowned, and his gaze flicked back and forth between me and the man on the ground.
"Oh, a magistrate, huh? Yeah, no wonder you think you're so important."
"Why have you accosted Magistrate Packard in this way?"
Lord Burchard helped his judge up from the floor, and the black-haired man straightened his robes with an air of self-importance. "Oh, so do you want to tell him, or should I?" I crossed my arms over my chest.
"This man broke into my study and assaulted me!"
The magistrate pointed an accusatory finger in my direction. Mahini, Jaxtum, and Zenda were by my side a moment later, and while there was confusion in their eyes, they all looked ready to fight. I gave them a subtle stand-down gesture, and they relaxed ever so slightly, so I turned my attention back to the Lord of Northwatch and his treacherous judge.
"Your magistrate here has been kidnapping people and sacrificing them to the cultists,"
I explained, and I raised my voice until I could be heard throughout the entire dining hall. "A man who calls himself Lord Caldera has been working with Magistrate Packard right under your very nose."
"What proof do you have?"
Lord Burchard asked, and he placed a protective hand on his judge's shoulder. I frowned. Well, fuck. All I had currently were overheard conversations. I needed something more concrete.
Ding!
"Announcing the arrival of Sir Sebastian, Archduke of Soreal, Bane of Pirates, Dragon Slayer, and God of Time!"
The herald called over the sound of the applause in a loud, clear voice.
"And his companions! Yaxtum of Bastionville, Archduchess Mahini of the Kotar Desert, and First Daughter Zenda of the Zaboreal Isles!"
Now it was time to show the Northern Reaches exactly what the God of Time was capable of, and I marched into the party with my head held high. I was going to take down corruption, tackle a cult, and cement an alliance with the Northern Realm. But it was all in a day's work when you had the ability to go back to a set point in time. I'd find my proof and expose Magistrate Packard, and then I'd go after this so-called Lord Caldera and his pack of mask-wearing goons. "Time to watch me work," I said to my companions with a shit-eating grin. Since I'd already experienced the party a few times, I was able to predict every aspect, and Zenda's amazement continued to grow. I explained the dishes, taught her the dance moves, and introduced her to everyone by name. Jaxtum and Mahini had witnessed my miracles more than a few times already, but the proud smiles on their faces showed their enjoyment as they followed along. Lord Burchard was flustered when I took the lead on the socializing circuits, and his eyebrows drew closer and closer together each time I already knew someone's name. "There is one person here I was hoping to speak with," I said after we'd talked to practically everyone.
"Oh?"
Lord Burchard arched an eyebrow.
"Someone you don't know yet? Is that possible?"
I ignored his sarcasm, and instead I pointed to the entrance to the long hallway. "Yeah, Magistrate Peckard should be out here celebrating with us, don't you think?" I smiled innocently. I would find my proof soon enough, but in the meantime, I wanted to keep a close eye on the traitor. Lord Burchard frowned, and he glanced at the hallway entrance as he fought an internal battle behind his eyes. Finally, he nodded, and then he gestured for a servant.
"Inform Magistrate Peckard his presence is required in the dining hall,"
the Lord of Northwatch instructed, but his voice was subdued and cautious. Magistrate Peckard had him by the balls somehow. The judge likely had his hands in so many pockets he was almost untouchable, and for a moment I considered just killing him to be done with the whole thing. There was no telling how deep the corruption ran, though, and I wanted to eliminate it at the roots. The magistrate, mysteriously dying, wasn't likely to accomplish that the way I wanted, so I'd just have to figure out something else. The magistrate emerged from the hallway entrance a short while later, and he didn't look pleased to be summoned to the party. Lord Burchard gave him an apologetic smile, but I noticed the fear in his eyes as he approached the dark-haired man.
"Ah, there he is!"
I gave the magistrate a friendly smile and wrapped an arm around his shoulders to guide his steps further into the dining hall.
"How are you exactly?"
Magistrate Peckard shot me a scrutinizing glance out of the corner of his eye.
"Allow me to introduce you to our guest of honor,"
Lord Burchard said.
"This is Sir Sebastian, the God of Time."
Magistrate Peckard started to sweat, and he dabbed at his forehead with the cuff of his robe. I gave him a few moments to process his predicament as I led him deeper into the crowd, but once the Lord of Northwatch had turned his back on us, I leaned down to whisper in his ear.
"I'm your worst nightmare, Peckard. I'm going to expose you as the traitor you are, and everyone will see your true colors."
And when the God of Time made a promise, he meant it.